Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all those who are here with us as we celebrate the second Sunday of Lent. Welcome also to all those who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We are glad you are here. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Mike. This Mass is being offered for the Holy Family First Saturday Memorial and intentions.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Kyrie eleison.
Christe eleison.
Kyrie eleison. Let us pray. O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
Let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. The word of the Lord is faithful, and all his works to be trusted. The Lord loves justice and right, and his merciful love fills the earth. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Yes, the Lord's eyes are on those who fear him, who hope in his merciful love to rescue their souls from death, to keep them alive in famine. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Our soul is waiting for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. May your merciful love be upon us as we hope in you, O Lord. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you. From the shining cloud, the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, hear him. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white is light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Gospel of the Lord. I mentioned before, and I'm sure I will mention it again, that when Matthew depicts Jesus, he works very, very hard to make Jesus come across as the new Moses. He works very hard to draw parallels, connections between the life of Jesus and the life of Moses. And the Transfiguration gives him a great opportunity. If you remember, when Moses in the desert goes up Mount Sinai, you read the details. There's a mention of a six-day period of time. He goes up. There are three witnesses. A cloud comes over the mountain. There's a voice or a noise. And Moses walks away radiating, glowing. You remember this kind of strange verse almost about Moses needing to wear a veil because the brightness of his face, people are afraid. Well, what do we see in the Transfiguration? Well, Jesus goes up a mountain. There are three guys with him. There's a cloud that comes over them. There's a voice. and Jesus is luminous in appearance. He's radiating. He's glowing. You see these similarities. Except there's a very big difference. The way it happens for Moses is Moses goes up the mountain, he encounters the presence of God that's manifested by this cloud. And after contact with this presence of God, he walks away glowing, shining, luminous. It even says it's because he talked to God that Moses' face shined. In other words, Moses is reflecting God's glory. He gets it from his contact and his closeness and his participation with God's presence. Jesus, by contrast, is glowing before the cloud descends on him. Jesus doesn't get his radiant appearance from contact with God's presence in the cloud, because Jesus is God's presence in the cloud. He's not reflecting God's glory, sharing in it. He contains it within his person. Do you see the difference? One writer, I hope I pronounced it right, Erasmo Leiva Mirakakis. He's got a religious name, Father Simeon, which makes it easier. But Erasmo Leiva Mirakakis looks at that great poem in the letter to Philippians. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave. And he notices that the word for transfigure is metamorpho. You hear that? Morph, morphe, transform. In Philippians, we see that Jesus has the form, the morphe of God, but he willingly takes up the form, the morphe, of a slave, of a human being. And so what we see in the transfiguration, this transformation, metamorpho, what we see is that form of God shining through. It's the form that Jesus already had and yet was cloaked, covered up by his human nature. That divinity is now sort of giving us a sneak peek, shining through, being revealed. Two things to notice. The first is, even though this is a revelation of Christ's divinity, it does not dissolve his body. You might think if this is showing us God behind the man, we need to kind of peel away the human nature and throw it away. This is not what happens. His body does not get incinerated by his divinity. Rather, it's through his body that the divinity is showing forth. If you ask the disciples, what's shining? They'd say his face and his hands and his cuticles and his beard and his nose. It's through his body that his manifestation of the divine is showing through. This is what happens when God comes into contact with his creation. Creation doesn't get overwhelmed, swallowed up, and dissolved. It comes into contact with it and gets lifted up. That's the logic of the Bible, not just the New Testament, by the way. Remember the burning bush? A lot of the church fathers love this image because it's the fire of the divinity that burns in the bush. And yet, the scriptures tell us the bush is not consumed. So that's the first thing that's interesting. Christ's body shows the divinity. It doesn't get swallowed up by it. The second thing that's interesting is it's not just his body that's glowing, right? It's his clothes, too. It's not just Jesus in his person that's able to reflect and manifest and be luminous and radiant with God's glory. It's the clothes that are touching him, that come into contact with him. St. Augustine says the clothes of Jesus in this scene are a type. They point to the church. This is a neat image. The clothes that Jesus is wearing point to the church. Why? Clothes on their own are just crumpled up, throw them in the corner. Not that interesting. But the clothes on the person of Christ stand up. They're given shape. And through their closeness with Christ are illuminated. That's the second thing. It's the clothes, those things that come into contact with Christ are also capable of shining forth. All right. Augustine saw as a type in the clothes, hinted at with a symbol, actually kind of plays out right in front of us in a literal way. Jesus' divinity shines forth. What's the disciples' reaction? They crumple like the clothes, right? They fall prostrate in fear. They're afraid because of God's awesome glory. Good Old Testament figures. They know that God is awesome, God is powerful, God is other, God is transcendent, God is holy. He is so far above them that contact with God is terrifying. Perhaps they're also afraid, like Peter was afraid in the boat when he comes into contact with Jesus and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Like Isaiah, who says, "I'm a man of unclean lips," right? Realizing who God is also makes them realize who they are and their sinfulness and the extent to which they fall short. And they fall in fear. What happens next? One of the most underrated passages in Scripture. It's so beautiful to me. In some sense, it's just a snapshot of our faith. Disciples fallen in fear, and what's Jesus' response? Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. What bridges the gap between God and all his transcendence and power and majesty and the disciples and their inadequacies and their fears is just Jesus gently touching them, saying, "Get up. Don't be afraid." And they do raise, like the clothes that Christ wears. Through that contact, eventually, the disciples radiate. As St. Paul says in the second letter to the Corinthians, by looking at him, they're transformed, transfigured is the word, after his image. To end with this, it's Lent, right? We caught up yet, made our peace with that fact. Lent is kind of a season where we fall prostrate in fear, right? I mean this in a loving way. We fast, and what does fasting do? It lets us know the limitations of the created world. We pray, it reminds us of the transcendence and otherness of God. We repent, we reflect on those ways in which we ourselves fall short. Lent's a little bit like the disciples falling down in the presence of God, falling prostrate. Good thing. Do those things. Do your fasting. Reflect on your shortcomings. As you do it, keep at least one eye on the point, on the payoff. That when we fall down, recognizing the space, the gap between us and God, that in between and coming for us is the Lord Jesus. Will gently touch us on the shoulder. He'll tell us to rise, to not be afraid. And more than just getting to our feet and returning to where we were, if we fall prostrate like the disciples, Christ will not only get us to where we were, but like his clothes, like the disciples, he will transfigure us and transform us after his own image. I believe in one God. With faith that God desires only our good, we come to him with our prayers and petitions.
For our Holy Father and all who lead the church, may God guide them in shepherding their flocks. Let us pray to the Lord. For judges and others in positions of authority, may the Holy Spirit grant them wisdom in balancing mercy with justice. Let us pray to the Lord. For an end to war and violence, especially in Ukraine, may the leaders of countries around the world discover a new relationship with Jesus, who is gentle, loving God, this Lent. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who feel disconnected from the Lord or from the church, may God's love uplift them. Let us pray to the Lord. for those who are preparing to enter the church this Easter. May God and the prayers of this community strengthen them on their journey. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who suffer physically, mentally, or spiritually, we pray for our television, radio, and online community, Justin Schwend, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who have died, especially Amelia Guzman, Denise Fleschner, and all the holy souls in purgatory, may the Lord lovingly welcome them into the heavenly banquet. Let us pray to the Lord.
Loving God, we bring our needs before you, knowing that you care for us with the love of a father. We ask that you hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Transform us as you transfigured, stood apart on Tabor's height. Lead us up our sacred mountains, search us with revealing light. Lift us from where we fallen, full of questions filled with doubt. Transform us as you transfigured, once spoke with those holy ones. We surrounded by the witness of those saints whose work is done, live in this world as your body, chosen daughters, as you transfigured, would not stay within a shrine. Keep us from our great temptation, time and truth we quickly bind. Lead us down those days.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. May this sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of all our faults, and sanctify your faithful body and mind for the celebration of the Paschal festivities, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ our Lord, for after he had told the disciples of his coming death, on the holy mountain he manifested to them his glory, to show even by the testimony of the law and the prophets, the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. And so with the powers of heaven we worship you constantly on earth, and before your majesty, without end, we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant Francis, our Pope, Earl, our Bishop, the Order of Bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Peace to the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Thank you.
Please join us in singing our first communion song, number 489, Merciful God. Again, that's number 489. We'll be using the Lent communion refrain.
Grace for lives made new. For guide us, merciful God.
Let us pray. As we receive these glorious mysteries, we make thanksgiving to you, O Lord, for allowing us, while still on earth, to be partakers even now of the things of heaven. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bow your heads for the blessing. Bless your faithful, we pray, O Lord, with a blessing that endures forever. And keep them faithful to the gospel of your only begotten Son, so that they may always desire and at last attain that glory whose beauty he showed in his own body to the amazement of his apostles. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth, the Mass is ended.
Please join us in sending forth with number 479, Lord, who throughout these 40 days, again, it's 479.
Of January 28th, we celebrate the memorial of St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm standing in front of his statue here right behind me. He is our parish patron. He is also the patron to students, which is very appropriate as our parish has a school, and we are in East Lansing, which is the community of Michigan State University. And so we seek the patronage of St. Thomas Aquinas, who so brilliantly explained the faith. And we are also grateful not only for his patronage, but for all of our Outreach Mass community, our supporters and benefactors. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts, small and large. You help us to stay on the air so that we can continue to share the good news with all those who most need to hear the word of God. If you are able to send a contribution, please do so to 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. If you're interested in a bequest or a legacy gift, send us an email and we will put you in contact with our advancement director. Thank you again for keeping us on the air. Thank you for helping us to share the good news. We're grateful again for the patronage of St. Thomas Aquinas, and we're grateful for you. May God bless and keep you.
Welcome to another episode of Faith That Works. I'm Father Matthew from the East Lansing Parishes, and today we're going to talk about the Creed. We just spoke about the homily, and now on Sundays and on special feast days or holy days, we're also going to say the Creed. Now, the Creed is very pivotal because the Creed really announces who we are by what it is that we believe. Christianity is defined by a certain set of beliefs.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty,
We believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. We believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. We believe that the Holy Spirit is with the church and guiding us. These fundamental beliefs are what make us Christians. Sometimes people will ask me, well, is this church Christian? Or I have a friend who's this religion, is that Christian? And the answer that we always give is, can they recite the creed? Can they say this declaration of faith is their faith? And if they can, we include them then under the umbrella of Christianity. And while within Christianity we may have some differences in practices or in some of our beliefs, fundamentally, what makes us Christian is this set of beliefs that we proclaim every Sunday with the creed. And this is the way that we identify who we are and why we are here. And so the creed, the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, is an important part of Sunday and Holy Day liturgies because it identifies why we are here, who we are, and what we believe. This is our way of showing once again that our faith is a faith that works.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.